Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You don't have any idea why we're doing most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. If you don't avoid the tiger, you don't have any fun after that. I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroe.
And this is Two Guys on Your Head.
How about that?
Today, the positives and negatives of fear as a motivation.
As we've talked about on several shows before, the human motivational system has these two central systems in it, the approach system, the avoidance system. The approach system is the one that goes after really desirable, wonderful things. The avoidance system, the one that tries to pull us away from really noxious, horrible things. Now, when you think about the emotions you experience, they often relate to those systems. So in the presence of really desirable things, you feel anticipation, excitement, and if you get that desirable thing, you feel joy, satisfaction, and happiness. Well, if the avoidance system is active because there's something really horrible out there in the environment, then you experience fear and anxiety, and then if you don't successfully avoid it, then you also experience pain.
Yes, or your demise.
Yes.
And that prompts action in the short term. Now, if you're talking to people about things and you want them to change their behavior or you want to influence their behavior in some way, you can say, well, you know, if we do this, this outcome might happen and this might be very positive and you might see a very lovely thing come about. But if you say, look, run, you know, something terrible is happening. The motivational system that Art's talking about now gets you moving because, damn, I got to protect myself, right? And as Art was saying at the beginning of the show, you know, if you can't avoid the tiger, you're not around to experience any pleasure subsequent to that. So it's understandable that fear is a tremendously effective motivator. Now, there's a downside to that too, right? Because even though it will get people motivated, it certainly isn't satisfying. Because as Art was saying, you know, if you have some promise of something good, then when that something good comes about, you have a feeling of reward and happiness and satisfaction and those kinds of things. When you're trying to escape something fearful, the best feeling you can have if you do escape is relief. You know, yeah. Oh, I escaped. You know, we got through that one. That's not a happy life. That's not a prescription for happiness.
And there's another piece too, which is you can get people to work together in dangerous and fearful situations, but they don't generally get together to do something that's deeply constructive.
Yeah.
Because really, when you're trying to avoid calamity, you're just throwing up whatever means necessary to make sure that you survive the day. And if you really want people to get together and work together in a spirit of cooperation, in a spirit of constructing something significant for the long term, then really focusing people on something that could be really desirable and wonderful is often much more motivating for creating those really great cooperative outcomes. And so in the short term, I can get you to do something. But the something I get you to do is largely to create safety, to create a safe space. Whereas a lot of the great things that we cherish over the course of our lives, whether they're particular things that we've constructed or the kinds of products and events and things like that that we have encountered, those are all almost exclusively the product of people motivating themselves by finding a desirable future that they want to create.
And most of us have experienced in our past, and some people, we all vary in the extent we experience this now, whether we're in a work environment, for example, where the primary concern is don't make a mistake, versus one where the primary concern is do something effective, because those are not the same thing. And it creates a different tenor in the environment, right? If you're operating in an environment where your biggest concern is that you might make a mistake and that will cost you in some way, well, you operate differently. And this certainly applies to issues in education as well, right? If you're learning something new and what you've come to believe your task is whatever you do, don't make a mistake. Don't be wrong. You're not going to learn very effectively.
And one of the things that ends up happening, and we've talked about this on other shows before, but I want to bring this back in, which is the mindset that you're in, either say approach or avoidance, influences both how you interpret the things going on in the world at the moment and what you pay attention to, which means that in a mindset where you are trying to avoid calamity, you are necessarily focused on the potential calamities that are out there.
Exactly.
Because that's the thing that you're most vigilant about.
Right.
Well, if you start looking for the negatives in the world, you're going to see the negatives in the world.
And I think we often underestimate how much what we perceive is governed by our mindset going in. I mean, if we have an expectation that there's a problem, whatever the problem is, with immigrants, it could be any kind of thing, we're tuned, right? We have heightened expectations that lead us to attend to things that comport with those expectations and to generally ignore things that don't.
And the fascinating thing about scary things is that even low probability scary events are still things that we need to pay a little bit of attention to, right? A low probability wonderful event, we can choose to pay attention to or not. If we ignore it and then it never happens, that's fine. Although people buy lottery tickets in order to dream about a very low probability, beautiful event. But when there's a low probability, really negative event, then if it comes to pass, that could still be really bad. And so there is much more of a tendency to want to maintain some amount of vigilance on that, even though it may be a vanishingly unlikely occurrence.
Right.
Next week, we'll talk about the psychology of home with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. You can subscribe to the podcast of Two Guys on Your Head on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud. And check out the new book, Brain Briefs, where Art and Bob take on a variety of topics across psychology. Also, be sure to join us at the live Two Guys on Your Head book launch at the Cactus Cafe October 4th as part of KUT's Views and Brews series. There's more information on this event as well as the show at KUT.org, and you can pre-order the book now at Amazon, Book People, Barnes & Noble, or just ask wherever books are sold to find your copy. David Alvarez is our engineer. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.